is Jaap Blonk on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Hello, you are listening to Pandora's Box on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia.
We are coming in live from Tartarus. It's your hosts, Vista.
And Layla.
And for this episode, we're going to be covering the myth of Sisyphus, not the Camus book, but the original Greek myth. And we chose this myth because life recently for, honestly, seemingly for many, has felt like pushing that damn rock up the hill.
Ain't that the truth?
Sorry. And we'll also be discussing how relevant and referenced this myth is in, like, culture today. Let's talk about the myth a little bit.
Right. So Sisyphus was a man from Corinth, a very smart man he's remembered as. And he was also, and this is important as well, a direct descendant of Prometheus, which, spoiler alert, Prometheus was the titan of, like, foresight, I think. Sisyphus apparently did not have that same foresight because he might not have ended up pushing a rock for eternity if he had, you know.
Wait, are you serious? That's how the story ends?
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Wait, are you actually serious?
Yeah, you had like 2,000 years to catch up.
I'm not on top of
things. And you should have maybe done your research as well.
Well, good thing that was a bit.
Good thing we did do our research.
We did do our
research.
Yay,
guys.
Yay!
But yeah, so back to Sisyphus. He did like some pretty typical like tyrannical like king stuff, right? Like he was a king.
Wait, what does that entail?
I'm not familiar. He like married his niece, Merope.
That's Merope. Not nice.
But like basically what he was really focused on was like putting his kingdom on the map. He really wanted to establish Corinth from this like up and coming city to like somewhere that was really nice, right? And then what's really interesting about this is that while he was doing that, he was also kind of like doing something a little like antithetical to it, which was like he broke the hospitality laws of the Greek gods by like killing everyone that came to like visit his kingdom, right? Like, which is kind of maybe not the move strategically if you're trying to put it on the map.
Right.
But yeah, so anyways, this really got him on like the Greek gods like blacklist, like they did not like that guy.
Yeah, knowing them, cross them once.
Yeah, cross them
once, never cross them again. Never cross anything again.
Yeah, cuz you're done for. I mean, he crossed them a couple times actually, and we'll get into that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, his whole backstory, though, to this, like, pushing a rock part of his lore is when Zeus transformed into an eagle, and as most stories in Greek mythology are, what did he do?
Be a predator, be at the scene of the crime.
Yeah. And
trust Zeus to be at the scene of the crime. Like, oh, my God.
So he kidnapped this river nymph, who is the daughter of a smaller god of a river. And again, like, one thing you can rely on in Greek mythology across many, many retellings and various variations is that, you know, the catalyst can probably be chalked up to Zeus, again, being a predator. So Sisyphus saw this kidnapping, and so when the river god went, like, all taken mode and tried to find his daughter, Sisyphus saw an opportunity, right? Like, what a great guy, to get a spring in his dry kingdom of Corinth in return for info about the daughter. So he did end up exchanging this information, being like, Zeus took your daughter, and he got a nice spring well in his kingdom.
And my question for you is, what did Zeus have to say about that? Like, was he, like, just, like, gonna let that slide? Like, what was the vibe there?
So he was like, he was not happy, and he was like, okay, he goes and talks to the god of like death, like, which is Thanatos, and he was like, you need to get this guy for me, right?
Dunk 10 on him.
Yeah, literally. And then, but then he like reverses it, or Sisyphus reverses, he captures Thanatos, which is like really bad because obviously if you capture the god of death, then nobody dies anymore. So then, like, Ares, the god of war, is like really bored because war is not killing people anymore, and it's like these stakes are so low, and he frees the god of death, and so it's like all that, right? You know, they're just extra mad at him now. The gods are really just not messing with Sisyphus anymore. But yeah, long story short, Sisyphus was basically just like a repeat offender for death evasion. And the first time, like, he outsmarted Thanatos, the god of death, and he like tied him up. And then once he finally escaped his bindings, obviously, like, none of the gods were happy with this like behavior, because it's kind of like the worst thing you can do to directly disobey their order and not just like disrespect their hospitality rules and stuff like that. And then like later on, he gets away with it though still. Like they're just not happy with him. He like dies mysteriously, unclearly, but he, however, instructs his wife / niece to disobey funeral rites and throw him into the spring river that runs through Corinth. So he washes up on the shore of the Styx, where he makes a plea to Persephone and is like, yo, my wife didn't bury me properly. Like, she just threw me in that river. Wow, she sucks, you know, blaming stuff on women. And then they, like, you know, are sympathetic and they let him return to the living world for one day so that he can, you know, instruct his wife to not disrespect the kingdom of the dead and give him a proper funeral rites and all the stuff that, you know, you would want as a king. Mm-hmm. So basically this is just like the equivalent, like the, you know, ancient times equivalent of coming up with like an elaborate hoax to get vacation days off from your boss. They agree and he like runs off with his wife the moment he touches down in Corinth. So he escapes death again. And from
classic
there, he just, like, lives a nice, long life.
Him.
Yeah. Dies of old age, which is really, like, anticlimactic. And at this point in time, he's, like, pretty accepted, like, of his fate. He's like, yeah, you know what? Like,
they're probably going to be mad when I get back down.
Yeah, like, they're like, yeah, they might be mad, but what are you going to do, you know? Just, like, can't outsmart Sisyphus is what he's thinking. Right.
Awkward.
Yeah. Yeah, so what happens when he gets down there, Vista?
So the thing is, he gets down to Tartarus, to Hades, whatever you want to call it, and he thinks he's chilling, right? He's like, oh my god, it was so long ago, like, they probably don't even remember how dirty I did them, disrespecting the gods, tricking Persephone, just all around, like, thinking he was goated, and boy, did they strike him down immediately. He literally 1 foot in the door of the underworld, and Hades is like, guess what? Get really excited, because actually what we've set up for you, your retirement plan, essentially, is that there's this really cool hill, and like, this is unconfirmed for sure, but basically Sisyphus, he was like, in his head, right, he was like, oh my god, like, they respect me so much for, like, having played them. They're probably going to give me, like, the nicest house in Tartarus, like, on the top of the hill with, like, a really good view, right? That's probably what he was thinking. Unconfirmed.
Tartarus, like McMansion.
Yeah. No one's confirmed that. Historians will probably say it's false. That's just a Pandora's Box exclusive.
Yeah, because we're in Tartarus right now.
Yeah, like, we're literally looking, and, like, we're looking inside Sisyphus's brain as he's, like, rolling. Like, he's, like, doing his job or something.
Yeah, it's, like, really
warm
in here.
Yeah, I need to, like...
like a fan or something.
Yeah, so he's looking at this hill, and Hades is like, and there's also a rock. And basically, the premise is, you're going to push it up this super steep hill, and then probably Sisyphus is like, oh, cool, so, like, I just have to push it up there, and then, like, I get the house.
Mm-mm.
He pushes it up there, right? The rock rolls down immediately, and he just has to keep doing that forever. Like, just push that rock. Rock falls down. He has to do the walk of shame back down the hill.
And that's arguably the worst part.
Yeah.
It's not even that, pushing that big rock
that
up the hill.
That impending, looming task that he just has to do for the rest of time. Doing it right now. Look at him go.
Yeah.
So cute.
Oh, no. So close.
Ooh, guys, he just tripped on a little pebble there.
Yeah, and it rolled back down.
No,
Sisyphus. But yeah, so he really thought he was going to get away with it, and then he didn't. Yeah. How ironic, you know?
Very
cheated
ironic.
Cheated death once, cheated death twice. Thought he was going to cheat punishment and consequences.
New.
But as elementary school teachers love to remind us, there are always consequences to your actions.
Exactly.
Yeah. And sometimes the consequence for our lovely listeners is being blessed by one of our favorite Canadian songs by the wonderful Alanis Morissette.
Mm-hmm.
And what song would this be?
I mean, it's kind of ironic that I'm about to say this, because we were just saying that Sisyphus's fate is so ironic, but has anyone ever heard of the song Ironic by Alanis Morissette? Let us know down below if you've heard of it. Yes. So here is Ironic by Alanis Morissette.
An old man turned 98. He won the lottery and died the next day. It's a black fly in your Chardonnay. It's a death row pardon 2 minutes too late. And isn't it ironic? Don't you think? It's like rain.
Are you looking to decolonize your self-care routine? Take a trip down to Sisters Sage for a variety of handmade soaps, bath fizzies, smudge sprays, and salves infused with traditional plant medicines. Sisters Sage is an award-winning local indigenous business run by Tsimshian and entrepreneur, activist, and community builder Lynn Marie Angus and her dog TJ. Passionate about crafting wellness products that are respectful of the land we live on, Sisters Sage is committed to a heart-centered approach to self-care as well as our collective healing. Located on 1312 Kingsway, you can drop by from Monday to Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. See you there.
Welcome back to Pandora's Box on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. And that was Ironic by Alanis Morissette. Where we left off, we had just finished talking about the myth of Sisyphus, where Sisyphus ends up being punished by the gods for having defied them and tricking them into letting him go back into like the world of the living. And his punishment is like he has to push this giant rock up a very steep hill in Tartarus for all of eternity. And before he like fully reaches the top of the hill, the rock just rolls back down. And, you know, the thing is with all myths, there's obviously different contradictions and embellishments. But in Sisyphus's tale, this punishment is consistent like every time. Like the same way Zeus being at the scene of the crime is like consistent in all like Greek myths. Sisyphus's really interesting fate is...
Yeah, like all anyone remembers about him. If I was Sisyphus, though, like not that he would know because he's too busy pushing a rock up a hill to know what like the public is perceiving of him like at the moment probably. Like I would hate like if I went through all that like trickery, right? If I thought I was like so clever and I did all this and all that and cheated death twice and I'm like, so what have you heard about me? And they're all like, well, word on the street is you're pushing a rock up a hill every day. I would literally be so done with that. Like, I would not be happy at all. Yeah. Well, I don't think he can go to his high school reunion.
Yeah, he can't even attend. It's like, what happened to that guy? I heard he's just pushing a rock for the rest of his life.
Do you think he wants to?
Yeah. And the thing is, like, I feel like what resonates the most with this tale is how horrifying the prospect of, like, doing one thing for the rest of eternity, just like endless cycle, like
the banality, is it light of evil?
Like, there's no light at the end of this tunnel, right? Like he's not gaining anything really, like at all from just pushing this rock.
He's not even dying.
Exactly, he doesn't even get to like die at the end of it. He just has to keep doing it forever. Like this is such an inconceivable amount of time for all of us, like living people. But
I like that you know, clarify that. Well, us living people.
Because you know Sisyphus knows.
We just have a day pass to Tartarus. We're not, we're still alive.
We got
for
the
sure.
one day admission, not the year pass.
You might not
like
have seen us
pass.
In a couple months at this point, but like, you know, we're still alive.
We're here. We found the entrance to Tartarus.
Yeah. It's just we went to like the place where it like started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was going to say, I feel like that's what resonates the most with this tale is just like people think this is like such a simple,
repetitive, annoying
punishment,
horrible,
but it's punishment. Horrifying. Like who would want this to happen to them? But I actually would argue, and Layla, let me know if you agree, that the way that many of us have to live our lives in present day under the conditions that this world is constructed under have some resemblance to... what was that?
I didn't say anything.
No, I didn't hear anything.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you can continue.
But yeah, I would say they...
Capitalism ASMR. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, it's kind of similar, right? Like this, like, clock in, clock out, like, you know, no end in sight, really repetitive, boring tasks that sort of, like, strip away slowly and chip away at your individuality and maybe your humanity even. You know, it's not something completely foreign to us. And that might be, like, why we, like, just have such a visceral negative reaction to this punishment as opposed to something that's a little more, like, outlandish, like having your, like, guts pecked out by a bird like Loki did.
Because how many people is that
like,
going to happen
to? Yeah, like,
realistically
that's not going to happen.
What are the chances of that happening to you?
But if you told me that in, like, I don't know. Like, there is somebody right now that's just, like, pushing a rock up a hill every day, and then it rolls back down, and they have to clock in and do it again.
Yeah.
I would believe you.
Clopening shift.
That is a clopening shift.
That is a clopening shift. And you're, the walk down from the hill is, like, the time between opening, closing and opening. Again.
Right, yeah. A clopening shift would be, like...
When you close.
And then you open.
And then you open the day after. Yeah. At your workplace or the hill, if you're Sisyphus.
That might be his workplace.
Yeah.
Do you think he has, like, WorkSafe BC? Like, do you think he has, like...
Maybe they have WorkSafe Tartarus?
Yeah, like...
Maybe.
If he gets, like, injured by the rock at work, then I feel like they wouldn't, though, honestly. Like, they don't really want him to...
I don't think Hades is trying to dish out the insurance money. Like, I don't think he's really on that.
Yeah, exactly.
Caring for his employees that he doesn't even want to, like, provide for, regardless.
No, for sure. And I feel like kind of similar to that, like, some people, like, willingly put themselves in, like, a Sisyphus-esque grind set. I mean, we're all trapped in a Sisyphus grind set.
Yeah. But like, some people really think they're doing something with it.
Yeah, which
but
is...
But you're just making it worse.
Part of the big, what's it, like, lie of capitalism is that it makes you think, or, like, sometimes it tries to trick you into thinking that you want this for yourself, I guess. Yeah. and like side hustle culture, this like always like work to get ahead, and it's this lifestyle is really emboldened under capitalism, right? And it's we're so focused on getting ahead and getting one up on everyone else, because deep down we understand, like intuitively or whatever, that the system is unfairly ruled, much like how the gods are ultimately the ones who are going to have, like, the last laugh in ancient Greece, right? No matter how much you try to get ahead.
Because we're all, at the end of the day, pushing a rock up a hill. It doesn't really matter.
If you're running up that hill.
Running. If you're just a couple meters ahead.
Right.
You might be on a different hill.
Yeah, because it's, like, not defending Sisyphus or anything.
Not his actions prior.
Yeah, like, his actions, but like, marrying his niece. Yeah, all this stuff. Like, we don't approve of that. But, like, apart from, you know, his, like, tyranny and his kind of power-hungriness, like, is he really so different from Zeus, right? And his power-hungriness and his sort of predatory business. Mm-hmm. But, like, again, where is Zeus's rock up that hill?
And that's what I'm saying, because the only difference really between, well, if we look at it in a very simplified way, between Sisyphus and Zeus is status. Zeus has god status.
Yeah.
Sisyphus had mortal status.
A measly king.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, too bad.
Yeah.
Basically a peasant at this point, right,
at
guys?
At this rate.
Yeah,
he got
honestly. But yeah, it's just like, at the end of the day, like, Zeus is having that last laugh, and no matter, he doesn't have to have a hill or a rock to push, right? Mm-hmm. It's like,
he just gets to keep stirring things up.
Yeah. Boss makes a dollar, and I make a rock roll up hill.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Also, something that I wanted to briefly touch on that just, you know, really reminds me of this, you know, little culture of capitalism that we have going on, and how we kind of are turning it into a joke as a society, and, like, you know, boss makes a dollar, I make rock roll uphill, is, like, the meme format of, like, when you get paid biweekly, like, week one, it's, like, whatever, mm-hmm. feast, week two, it's ice soup.
ice soup is so funny.
I just,
sorry.
Sorry. It's just, like, wow,
that's
like,
so
that
true,
really
yeah.
is what we're doing, like, we're actually pushing rock uphill to not even be able to, like, we have to eat ice soup,
yeah,
like,
afterwards.
From time to time.
Yeah.
Damn.
Whoever's
we really are living
in, like,
Sisyphus
right
life.
Now is really going to have a moment to adjust. Talking about some rocks and ice soup.
And also let the dogs vote, in case Melon is tuned in.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, no, that's for sure. I feel like part of, like, the human response, though, to, like, these really absurd and, banal conditions that we live in that sort of just, like, chip away at us and stuff like that is just, like, accepting that these are the conditions and trying to, like,
make a joke out of it.
Yeah, make a joke out of it. Or just, like, create something so absurd as a response, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, a lifestyle that's equally as absurd in almost, like,
they were saying capitalism breeds innovation. Maybe not in the ways intended.
Yeah, but maybe innovation in response.
Yeah.
On how to continue
innovation
living and being
as
human
revolution.
And having fun and stuff.
Yeah.
And innovation as in club music.
Exactly.
Right? Which is where we're sort of heading. Yeah, so I guess the topic right now that I'm thinking of is recession music,
mm-hmm.
question mark.
Mm-hmm.
And in case, like, you're not familiar with the term recession music, you've definitely heard recession music, and you'll probably mm-hmm. be able to identify it.
And
it's sort of like,
think about it, 2008 recession.
Right.
When you think about, like, 2008 and, like, maybe, like, the 5 years following, right?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of culture are we thinking of? Because I'm thinking Jersey Shore. I'm thinking
Black Eyed Peas.
Black Eyed Peas.
Kesha.
Yep.
TikTok, not TikTok, the app, but that song. But yeah, like, there's that person that was saying, I forget who, it was like someone famous,
mm-hmm.
Was saying when the economy is up, the fashion and, like, the arts and the culture seem mm-hmm. much more almost grounded mm-hmm. and grungy, like in the way that, like, 90s music was a lot of, like, indie, like, stuff going on, mm-hmm. a lot of rock, a lot of really, like, yeah, like, bringing into question, like, the what does it mean for the economy to really be up? But then when everyone's, like, visibly suffering, I guess, or, like, when the economy is down, as it is in the...
Wait, what was that?
Sorry. I think the mic just...
I'm just hearing things. It's probably because of Tartarus. Like,
yeah,
weird,
like weird winds
entities
and stuff.
Floating around.
Like,
sorry about that.
Yeah, sorry. Just static. Ignore it.
Random.
But, yeah, like, when the economy is down, the music is up, the club is up,
mm-hmm. And, like, even just visually when you think back to that time, like, people would be decked out. Like, people don't hit the club in this day and age, like, with, like, I don't know. I just think about, like, the, like, colorful extension, like, clipping colorful bright pink and green extensions. Like, sunglasses in the club. Like, everything bedazzled, rhinestones, studded, everything. Just, like,
It doesn't
everything
really...
was maximalist, like, including the music.
Yeah, and, you know, we keep talking about the music, but...
Let's listen to the music. Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, we're just heading over. We're in the line right now to Club Tartarus, right? It's actually pretty close to where Sisyphus is, right?
Yeah, like, I feel bad. Imagine being him. Like, he can hear the music and, like, everyone, like, having fun,
and
laughing.
It's close enough. Like, it's close enough to the hill, but just far enough that he doesn't have time to make it there and back and have a nice night out between his club opening shift. Or, sorry, while the rock is rolling down. So... yeah, but let's head inside and see what kind of music they're playing in Club Tartarus Recession Night theme.
Okay, y'all, we made it in.
And everyone's, like, got their swag on.
I know, like that one Soulja Boy song.
Oh, you should ask the DJ if you can play that. Soulja Boy tone, hop up at the beat, turn my swag on. Took a look in the mirror, said, what's up, what's up?
Are you a writer?
Listener?
Dreamer?
Music nerd?
Want to cover artists?
Visit venues?
Write something?
Events?
Personal essays?
Anything!
Submit to Discorder Magazine and then take it a step further on Hail Discordia with your hosts, Zoe
and Izzy. Hail Discordia is an audio translation of Discorder Magazine. We interview writers, play music and soundscapes, and do a deep dive of each zine issue. Hail Discordia plays at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the third Thursday of every month on CITR 101.9 FM.
Submit something for the magazine and come onto the show, or just tune in and listen. We promise it's worth it.
Ooh, that was so fun, y'all. They played such good music. They played Turn On My Swag by Soulja Boy, which is a recession classic. Like,
and a Club Charterist classic, apparently, as well.
Apparently. Like, yeah. I mean, the crowd was lit during, so they knew all the words.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah, I think I saw some, like, ancient Greek, like, felons getting, like, really into some, like, cyclops and stuff like that as well.
Wow.
They're not felons, crazy. But... Yeah, anyways, but, yeah, it's just, like, really got me in the mood to talk a bit more about Sisyphus and his predicament.
You know my swag, not my story.
And maybe that's... I feel like if he ever released a book, like, his own, like... If I did it, you know, if I pushed the rock up the hill. No, we all know he's doing that. But it would
be
like, you
know
my swag, not my story.
Of pushing the rock up the hill. But do we know his story of, like, I don't know, like
marrying his niece?
How much does he get paid an hour?
Oh, does he get paid? Because, okay, would you do it if you got paid? Like, if you...
That's the thing, right? Is, like, the whole thing of, like, one must imagine that Sisyphus gets paid $25 an hour.
I've never heard of that before in my life.
I think I just saw it on, like social media. Like, I distinctly remember, like, a screenshot of this girl's face. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, the text over her face. Like, it's, like, obviously, like, she typed it out and posted it or whatever. But she actually makes a really good point. Because not to go back to what we were talking about, like... Mm-hmm. Recession, capitalist society. Like, and that is what is keeping a lot of y'all going. Again, is that grind set.
That y'all sounded so accusative. Guys, it's an inclusive. It's
inclusive,
like,
y'all.
Nosotros.
Yes.
Yeah.
Y'all, including us, are being paid. But the thing is, y'all are like, oh, I'm not like Sisyphus. I'm getting paid. And what if Sisyphus was getting $25 an hour? Far more than minimum wage in BC.
Yeah.
How would
adjust
you feel
for inflation? Because he's probably getting paid in, like, ancient Greek drachmas or something. Yeah.
Would you still think that you're significantly better off than him? I don't think so.
I think I'm significantly better off with him because I like my coworkers. He's all alone in that hill.
True. Like, do you think him and the rock, like, beef? Not, like the rock,
Dwayne
the person, but, like, the rock
jocks?
That he's pushing up?
Oh,
like, do you think he ever gets, like, mad at it and, like, oh my god, I just had a vision of Sisyphus, like, he's, like, basically at the top, right? And, like, the rock's gonna go down anyways, but just, like, to get his frustration out, he'll, like, kick it down the hill.
Stop.
Because he's mad. He's like, okay, stupid rock. The rock is like, okay, and I was going down anyways. I was gonna go there anyway.
And now he's just, like, running around with, like, a busted toe. Speaking of which, I, like, recently, well, I guess not so recently when everyone hears this, like, hit my foot and, like, thought I broke it. And that's why you don't play soccer when you're wearing ballet flats.
Dude, Sisyphus doesn't even get, like, the chance.
Yeah,
to do
but
that.
I had
that's
FOMO.
Crazy.
I had such bad FOMO. And I was like, wow, I really want to play soccer with everyone else.
Wait, and you just brought up a really good point.
Do you think Sisyphus gets FOMO?
No.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. But actually, I feel like the thing is, when we were in Club Tartarus, someone did say that apparently, like, streets are saying, like, he does sometimes between that opening shift, like, he'll clock in late and go to Club Tartarus.
Oh, you're joking.
Yeah, in the transition time, in the turnaround time.
Wow. So he's not even taking it seriously.
Crazy. Another Pandora's Box exclusive, y'all. Yeah. Historians will not, like...
Yeah, they will not.
Like,
it's not peer reviewed or anything.
No.
But
that's just, like, word on the street. We heard it when we were in Club Tartarus. But what I was going to say is you mentioned ballet flats.
Yeah.
And to take the premise of the myth of Sisyphus, right, and apply a little more in other ways to current life, ballet flats are, you know, obviously I wouldn't call them, like, as much of a micro trend because, like, they're not. Like, I feel like ballet flats are much more, like...
Yeah, they come and
varied,
go.
Varied and, like, they definitely come and go and, like, people have worn them more consistently and, like, whatnot. But fashion trends, micro trends, and the trend cycle, I think, are very reminiscent of Sisyphus's cycle, right? Where something will be proclaimed trending. Everyone rushes to reach that ideal, purchase mm-hmm. whatever, fit into whatever aesthetic, like buy a whole new wardrobe. And by the time they've pushed the rock up the hill and achieved that style, the rock rolls back down and the next micro trend is in. Like, the next thing is in. Like, you aren't
like
even...
by the time the Panda Buy haul arrives...
Literally.
You don't like your whole closet months. Anymore, you know?
Exactly. And you've spent all this money for stuff that you don't like. You haven't achieved anything. You pushed the rock up the hill, but what were your gains? Literally, your boss earned a dollar. The people at Panda Buy HQ earned a dollar and you earned rock uphill.
Yeah, that's true. And... you spent all the money that you earned, you know, pushing that rock up the hill, pushing another rock up a hill. Yeah, and it's, like, totally inachievable as well. And I feel like there's, like, such a, like, a culture around, you know, almost, like, trend predicting now. Like, before, mm-hmm. I feel like it was more, like, following the trend. And, you know, like, if you're not following what's popular, then, I don't know, it's, like, another status thing, I guess. Like, there's just, like, you just, like, aren't
you're just not with it.
Yeah, you're just not with it, right?
You're not in what are the girls wearing for fall 2025? Yeah. I hate this phrasing because it's like it's not even something that becomes naturally a trend anymore. It's like someone saying this will be trend, like this is going to trend. I'm saying that this is going to trend, and they try to like force it to be a trend by having everyone go buy it, and then all of a sudden like everyone's wearing this thing and they don't even know why. It's because one person on the internet said this is going to be the trend and they just decided that for no reason. Sorry, I'm getting
a little bit heated,
but like I just think it's ridiculous.
Like I think one thing for me is like when people predict trends and stuff, there's just like a lack of with like the internet and, you know, with how close everything is on social media and how accessible everything is, like there seems to be more of this idea of like what's like a universal trend, you know, mm-hmm. like what is everyone across the globe, like who's with it with fashion going to be wearing this year. But like if you think about it, like every city, sorry to bring like on a very basic level, like mm-hmm. every city has such different weather.
Yeah.
I could not be wearing what like people in like warmer cities are in winter. Cause like up here in Canada, this is the warm part of Canada. I'm still going to freeze. Right.
Yeah.
And it's like fashion has become so much less about practicality and more about aesthetic that it almost like the cycle like sort of collapses in on itself because it's not rooted in anything mm-hmm. beyond what goes well together. And it rather becomes like rooted in what was the last thing that was trending and what's different from it, right? But, like, yeah, I feel like we're seeing a new trend of, like, almost trend prediction. So rather than just, like, following and buying and being with it or whatever, it's, like, you're almost, like, you gain points for...
having put a trend into the cycle.
Yeah,
or, like, predicting
yeah,
it.
Yeah, or, like, being on something, like, earlier. And I saw this, like, this is also from social media as well. But I saw this girl talking about, like, oh, if you're, like... style and if you're whatever aesthetic, if you want to say like that, like serves your purpose, like serves your life and mm-hmm. contributes to like what you actually do mm-hmm. you know on in a tangible way, if you like I don't know, are a mm-hmm. hiker, like wearing hiking boots for example, that's like a for really sure. basic example, right? But
I think I might know who you're talking about mm-hmm. because I follow this girl on TikTok who like makes fashion content and she made a very
right.
similar video. But that just reminded me, our friend Moika's dad is a carpenter, right?
Right, yeah, yeah.
And the shoes, like the OG Margiela
yeah,
tabbies that he wears, like those are just like a career
like every
oriented
like carpenter in Japan like will have a pair
yeah.
of those.
So like yeah. you see like his like what he's wearing is like very influenced by his job.
Mm-hmm.
Also sorry to have interrupted you, but I also
okay.
wanted to say like the point you made earlier,
but that's
about
like
weather,
literally what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
That, yeah,
like a lot of people's like style, if your style comes from your lifestyle, like that's
yeah
the
and
authenticity
if it
behind
you,
it is
it will never like you shouldn't be scared of people like latching onto your style or your trend or whatever you're into mm-hmm. because it's like at the end of the day like you're being true to yourself and you're staying true to your beat or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And your lifestyle
for
and
sure.
So like I feel like just like any stress, which is like so funny, right? Like the stress of like a trend being like blowing up and becoming
yeah,
famous,
like, oh my
or whatever.
Gosh, like I'm gonna lose like my
yeah
my thing
yeah yeah, but it's like it's always gonna be your thing if it's authentic to your lifestyle.
Yeah,
just go and join the workforce.
True.
Exactly. That's a joke, guys. We all, like, there's so much Carhartt in Vancouver. Literally. We can't all be working in the same job.
Nope.
Some of us have to be, like, a barista wearing Carhartt pants. So,
like, some of us have to be unemployed wearing Carhartt
pants. Yeah, exactly. And no shame on that, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I did also want to touch on your point about weather, because I saw a while ago this TikTok of this European girl saying that people who like summer can't dress because, like, summer is not suitable for fashion. And then I saw, like, some discourse about it, and other people were like, well, no, there's plenty of people from places with warmer climates, like, in present day where it's, like,
yeah,
like, a more, conscious choice to, like, dress fashionably. But also just, like, traditional clothing where people have, like, adapted style to suit warm weather as well. So it kind of just, like, again, ties back into, like, authenticity,
right,
and, like,
yeah,
location and geography. Like, what is, like, predicted to be a global trend for all people who are interested in fashion is just never going to be true simply because of, like, weather. Like,
yeah, because sometimes I'm just going to have to put my puffer jacket on top of my fashion jacket.
Exactly.
And look like, you know, the silliness. Michelin man.
Yeah.
For, like, a couple hours
and
while I'm commuting
we'll
to the club.
It. We'll embrace it.
Because yeah, that's true, because I actually recently embraced it.
Yeah,
I spent, like, 18 years
ranks.
Of my life just freezing and not buying jackets and stuff. And then this winter, it just got too much. I got sick. I was like, nah,
exactly.
I'm buying a puffer jacket.
Exactly.
And, yeah, but
and
you know what?
Feel?
Also, it feels really, really warm to the point where I'm overwhelmed at how warm I am sometimes. But, like, I'm not even going to lie. Like, when I was, like, a younger teenager, I seriously don't think I felt, like, the cold as much. Like, I think it's, like, I'm aging. And
yeah,
it's like I'm feeling
feel
the cold a bit
more
frailer,
like,
you know?
Little match girl
yeah.
sometimes, like recently.
Right? Anyways, but all that being said, right, there's no need to push that rock up the hill because we're already pushing so many rocks up hills just for them to roll back down. Absolutely no need to push a fashion rock up a hill, you know, if it doesn't, like, add to your life in a meaningful way.
Wear what you want.
Yeah, wear what you want.
Hades is not forcing
wear
you
what
to
keeps
climb
you
the
warm,
fashion
wear what
cycle
keeps you
hill.
Cool.
Yeah.
You know? Listen to your body.
Right.
And maybe
thank
if
you, Layla.
And maybe if Sisyphus had listened to his body telling him that he needs to naturally die, you
yeah.
know, and not cheat death or something, then he wouldn't have been in the predicament that he is today.
That's so true.
Not to, like, victim blame him, and but also not to call him a victim. You know, it's complicated.
So for our next song, we wanted to play a little interlude to keep Sisyphus going, like some motivation. We're just gonna actually play on our phones really loud for him here, so maybe, like, from the top of the hill you can hear it. You know, maybe it'll help him out, because there is always hope, question mark, for him.
Well, I'd like to think that there's always hope.
Mm-hmm.
Not just for Sisyphus, but I feel not ambivalent, but I have mixed feelings about him
mm-hmm.
and his role that he had to play in his own fate.
True.
Right? Yeah. But maybe more as an anthem. Whoa, getting crazy up in here. But maybe more as a reminder for the rest of us.
True.
Who are
stuck in this capital.
Oh, stuck pushing rocks up hills.
Yes.
Right, guys?
Right.
Well, yeah.
Anyways, so with that, our next song is Siempre Hay Esperanza by Sade.
Thank you.
If the news are getting you down or you're tired of scrolling on your phone, Massey Books is the one-stop shop for you. A 100% Indigenous-owned business that is committed to giving back to local charities, community initiatives, and organizations, Massey Books has a vast selection of rare and unique books, as well as a diverse range of books that are from underrepresented authors. You can shop online at masseybooks.com or visit their store on 229 East Georgia Street in Chinatown. They are open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Wednesday to Saturday and 12 to 5 from Sunday to Tuesday. Their friendly staff would love to give you a hand to find your new favorite read.
Are you interested in playing, watching, or discussing all things cricket? Look no further than UBC's Cricket Club. Reach out to @AMSUBCCricketClub on Instagram to get connected today.
Welcome back to Pandora's Box on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia.
And that was Siempre Hay Esperanza by Sade. And yeah, we just wanted to wrap up all this discussion about Sisyphus, his fate, and like what that has to do with life for us now as members of
society
in the 21st century, members of the world of the living.
That's crazy because when you think about it, Sisyphus has been pushing a rock for like 21 centuries.
Yeah, none of us have been alive that long. Like, we literally can't even like
comprehend just the amount of rocks.
Crazy.
How much power do you think he's generated doing that? They should like hook up like
literally they should capitalize
on or something. Oh, but anyways, let's move on. The moral of the story is fashion microtrends is very similar to pushing a rock up the hill.
And so is getting paid biweekly and having ice soup for dinner in week two.
Yeah.
But basically the point is that these absurd trend cycles and work and all of these things that we partake in as members of current society are just like these never-ending cycles that are so similar to Sisyphus's punishment, which the only thing that really makes this feel like such an evil and gruesome punishment is the fact that it is so cyclical. It never ends.
And also because of like kind of the role that Sisyphus, as you know, his actions in his past life had to play in his fate, I guess, like sort of resonates with this idea that we play a part in our own condemning, which I don't really like that in application to our society, because it's like we didn't really choose to, you know, live in this whatever society that we live in. But yeah, to an extent, it is made up by all of our actions, and we do have a part to play in upholding that as well and upholding that kind of culture.
Sure.
But yeah, next time you find yourself caught up in some repetitive task at your local work or just doing something place, just ask yourself, you know, how absurd is this task, and why do we embrace it as part of our daily lives? Why is it normalized? And is it really as weird as Sisyphus, like, rolling a hill? Is it really as absurd as Sisyphus, you know, rolling a rock up a hill? Or are we normal?
Yeah.
I guess
let us
know
what you
right?
find out.
Yeah.
And so, yes, once again, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Pandora's Box.
And as always, if you have any myths, any folklores, any stories that you'd like covered, send them our way and we will probably definitely cover them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd love to. And yeah, so our last song for today is going to be Carina Hill by Joni Mitchell.
You know, iconic Canadian singer and artist. And also seems to be bringing up a bit of a common theme, a bit of a like a hill motif. Yeah, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's the song we're sending you off by. So thanks again so much for listening. And this was Pandora's Box on CITR 101.9 FM.
Bye.
Bye.
I've been sitting up waiting for my sugar to show. I've been listening to the sirens and the radio. He said he'd be over 3 hours ago. I've been waiting for his car on the
listening to CITR Radio 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver. This is Life on Thunderbird Radio Hell. Thanks for tuning in. I am Ben with you tonight. Originally, if you were listening to this show a couple of weeks ago, we talked about having the band Muppet Boys booked live on the show tonight. Unfortunately, due to some scheduling conflicts, we have to reschedule them for March the 13th. So in 2 weeks' time instead of tonight. So no live band tonight, just pre-canned or canned music. I'm also going to do a rerun later on. So the first hour or so will just be